We continue our learning the Nishmas Davi ben Menachem Mishnah Menachem Yaakov ben Pinchas Leo. We're in Gittin Parakei Mishnah Zayin. Chereish, a deaf mute, romes v'nirmas. He can gesture and is gestured too. What it means is if he wants to make some type of transaction, he wants to sell something or buy something, so obviously he can't speak. So if he gestures, that takes the place of speech. So that's what Bartner here says. He says, Mashu Romez, Osha Cherim Romzim, Robinis Ratza, Hakol Kayam. Oben Visera Omer, Kofates, Vinikpats. He says, if the Cheresh, Kofates literally means jumps, but here it means that he moves his lips and is able to, by moving his lips, is able to indicate what his intention is regarding buying and selling, regarding some type of transaction, that is going to be acceptable. Or for his response, let's say someone gives him a signal and he's able to respond with a lip movement. The transaction will take effect based on that. Is Ben Mesera coming to be Machmir? So it sounds like no, he's coming to be Mekel, saying even Kofetz Fenekpats, meaning he doesn't have to gesture. It's enough for him to make lip movements, and that would be acceptable. Others claim that kvitsa means the exchange of money has nothing to do with moving lips. Kvitsa means the jumping, literally the exchange of money for the object that's being bought. So obviously, once the money is giving, it's given, it's very clear what his intention may be. And that can replace the speech by showing his kavana, and therefore Ben Mesera is coming to be machmir, which means, although the Tanakhama may say romes v'nirmas, gesture is sufficient, Ben Mesera is coming to say kofetz v'nikpats, he has to, with not lip movements, he has to actually give the money. And if the money is given, then we know what his intention is. But the Mishnah then writes the word b'metaltalin, which means this is all true regarding movable objects. According to one opinion, this is metaltalin is going on both Ben Becerra's comment and the Tanakhama's comment, which is that both the Tanakha and Ben Becerra agree that a deaf mute is permitted to use remiza, hinting, gesturing, or the lip movements, according to the others, the giving of the money, that's been metaltalin. That's only when the transaction is movable objects, but not of real estate, not of karka. And others claim that when it says been metaltalin, that's only referring to Ben Becerra's statement, which is that when does Ben Becerra allow you to move your lips, and that's considered a valid way to conduct a transaction, that's only by metaltalin. But even Ben Mesera agrees that you have to use your hands, your head, your gestures for karka. There's additional discussion in the Gemara on Daf Nun Tes. Let's say we're talking about a divorce. We're not talking about transaction. Let's say we're speaking about a get. Can we have a deaf mute? Can that be done through gestures? So it's possible that Ben Mesera would agree to the first Tana that you need full gestures. The lip movements is not sufficient. And others would disagree. Why would we say that it would be sufficient to use the lip movements? Well, if we'll say the marriage anyway was done through gestures, so maybe we don't have to be so strict when it comes to divorce as well. Maybe we would allow any type of means of causing the divorce. Obviously, a get has to be written, but understanding what his intentions are, that's something that we would require based on these different opinions in the Mishnah. Then Mishnah says, ha-po-otos. Po-otos are young children, and po-otos, we usually use that word when we want to talk about is the transaction of a katan or a ktana under bar bat mitzvah, is that considered effective? So the Mishnah here says, yeah, po-otos, and Bar Tanura says, keben sheva, keben shmona, like 7 or 8 years old, imhu charif v'yodea b'tiv maso matan. If he's sharp and understands, even though it's not bar bat mitzvah, even if they understand what it means that there's buying and selling. But then he says, keben tesha ben eser. And if he's 9 or 10, even if he's not so sharp, understanding that what's happening here, there's a buying and selling going on. So mikachon mekach, that which they purchase is considered a valid purchase. And mimkar, mimkar, and that which they sell is going to be effective as well. Why do we allow such a thing? Shouldn't they have to reach the age of das? So this is something that Chachamim allowed, based on the Gemara says on Daf Nun Tes, in order that we have, they're able to get what the Gemara calls Mishum Kidei Chayav. If we say that which they purchase is not going to be a Mekach, it's not a sale, So people may not want to sell them things. They may not buy things from them. They need to be able to be involved in transactions as well. Now, let's say you have an apotropos, an administrator on there to take care of their basic needs, kedei chayav. So it's possible that, so then maybe we would say that the transactions are not valid because they have someone taking charge of them. What about gifts? So that we spoke about mekach ha-member. What about a matana? So gifts that that children give of this age, 7 or 8 if they're sharp, or 9 or 10 if they're not so sharp, that's also going to be valid. And this is not about what's the issue, what happened to Kedei Chayav? This is necessary? Yeah, sure it is. Because why are they giving gift to someone? Probably because someone benefited them. So once again, this is all to their benefit to allow not only Mekach or Memkar, but allow to a gift to be effective as well. But then the Mishnah says, B'metaltalin. This is only true when it comes to movable objects. That's where we allow such a thing. Just like we said regarding the Cheresh, and his hinting, his gesturing. So the same thing here. The paotos, their mekach their mekach umemkar is effective, is valid, but only mimetalon, only regarding movable objects. Bartanura adds on, denasan matana, their gift is a gift. Achas matnas bari v'achas matnas shchivimra. Whether if this these young children, 7 or 8 or 9 or 10, are giving a gift when they're well, or when they're giving if they're, let's say, God forbid, they're on their deathbed. And that would be achas matana maruba, achas matana muetes. Makes no difference if they're giving a larger gift or a smaller gift. Either way, it's going to be effective. Perakei Mishnah Ches. Ve'elu dvarim sh'omru mnei darkei shalom. So the following halachos, the Chachamim have said, because in order to keep the peace. So we have a whole list of things here because of Darkei Shalom. So number one, this way people don't get into fights with people, amongst the Jewish people. Number one, Kohen Kore Rishon. The fact that a Kohen is called up for the first Aliyah, Bitzibur, V'achrav Levi, V'achrav Yisrael, then a Levi, then a Yisrael. The Gemara says this is not just Darkei Shalom. This is a Din D'Oraisa. It says, V'kidashto, ki eslechem elokechu makriv. Pasuk teaches us the Kohen should be called for or given everything in the beginning. The language of the Gemara is, Liftarach Rishon, Ulevarech Rishon, V'litomane Yafer Rishon. First Aliyah, he's supposed to speak first. He gets to lead the benching. You bring food to the table. He should be given the first portion. So Minat Torah, you have to give kavod to the Kohen. Of course, he should be called up for the first Aliyah. And nonetheless, what the Mishnah is teaching us that is that the Chachamim were Misakin Bitzibur, not only that we say a Kohen Kore Rishon, because if it's just based on the Kidashto Kahuna, the Kohen has the right to be Mochel on his kavod and give the first Aliyah to someone else. So the Chiddush of the Mishnah here is that he should not do so, that we should call the Kohen first all the time, and then a Levi, and then a Yisrael, Menei Darkei Shalom, so there's no one's jealous of one another, Kohen is not giving it to someone else, that's Menei Darkei Shalom. What else? Ma'arvin Bebayis Yashan. Well, the Eruv Chatzeros should be in the old house. So what does that mean? So in Maseches Erevin, we learned about the fact that you have to make an Erev Chatzeres, a box of matzah, that's in one of the houses so that everybody is able to carry within the Chatzer. Even though the Chatzer is enclosed, Shlomo HaMelech made a takana to require an Erev Chatzeres so people don't confuse the Chatzer with a Mavur Yen Rishus HaRabim. So you need a box of matzah. We have in our community's box of matzahs somewhere in the shul, in someone's house. So that is what joins everyone together in the community as if they're all guests at this one house where the box of matzah is, where the food is, and this way where the bread is, and this way everyone is able to carry within that chatzer. So the Erev Chatzeros, what it's saying is that the Ma'arvin B'bayis Yashan, if all of the B'nai Chatzer are normally leave the bread of the Erev Chatzeros in a particular house, they should not switch the place. They should always leave the box of matzah in that particular house because of Darkei Shalom. So what's Darkei Shalom here? So the Gemara says, Mishum Chashad, because of suspicion. What's the suspicion? So we're afraid that if this is typically the place where we put the pas, where we put the Eruv, in that particular house, so if you switch it, then people walk into that house and see the Erev is not there, they're going to think that the people in that chatzar are carrying without an Erev, not realizing that it was put in someone else's house. That's the way Rashi learns. The Tosas learns a little bit differently. No, the chashad, the suspicion is is that the people in the Bais Yashan, people walking in seeing that the box of matzah is not there in that old house, in the house where they typically leave it, they'll think that they stole it. You don't want people to be choshed, to be suspect them that they stole. And the Rambam understands, no, he says it's based on the fact that the house, the Bais Yashan, where you typically put the Eruv, they have this, how no, they get benefit. What's the benefit? They don't have to pay any money towards the pas. Typically, people would give a little bit of money so that they could buy the bread for the Erev Chatzeros. We do it in a different way. We do zechiyah. We acquire it on everyone's behalf. But here, they would gain by having the pasta in their house that they don't have to contribute towards it, give any money towards it, and that would they would end up losing out on that hanah by switching it to another house. Next, halacha bebnei dakei shalom is the following. Bor shehu karov la'ama. You have a cistern that's close to a channel of water, mismalei rishon, that should be filled up first, bebnei dakei shalom. So what does that mean? You have a channel that's flowing from a river, and it's next to many fields. The owner of the fields, of course, want to irrigate them, the fields from that channel of water. And you want to make sure that the people don't want, what if there's not enough water? It begins to dry up before they're able to irrigate their fields. So the owners of the fields would dig a bore, a cistern, right next to the field so the water could be collected from that river, from the channel. So we say that the bore, shukarov la'ama, the one that's closest to the ama, mismalei rishon. Let's say you want you need to stop the flow of the water so that it goes into to make sure that the water goes into the cisterns. So we say that the owner of the field that's closest to the beginning of that ama, of that channel of water, is able to divert the water into his cistern first, and everyone does it after he does. It should be in that order. Others claim that it really the mystery should be understood the opposite way. The cistern of the last field is filled first because we want to make sure that the channel of water is able to flow normally as much as it can. And then, therefore, by doing so, you let it flow and only the last field fills up first, and then you do everyone afterwards. Then you have to understand what the mystery means when it says the bore that is karov la'ama is filled up first. You have to, obviously, would need to interpret that. Then the Mishnah said, and that's all the B'nai Darkei Shalom. Mitzudos chaya v'ofos v'dagim yesh bahem mishum gazel B'nai Darkei Shalom. Traps that were set for chaya, wild animals, ofos, birds, dagim, and fish, nets, let's say, for fish. So these traps that were set for the animals, even if they can't hold the trapped animal within those traps so that the owner is able to get them, and acquire them. So you say, oh, well, if it's not in there, so then I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry anyway. Nonetheless, yesh bahen mishum gazel b'nei darkei shalom. The Chachamim said no one is allowed to remove the animals from the traps to avoid fighting. And that's what it's saying. If you have the trap set for the animals, you say, hold on one second. Those traps aren't going to be effective. There's no base kibble, there's no toch, there's no inside to that kli. So what do you mean the owner is going to be kone the animal? It's not kone anything. The animal's just sitting on there. That's not a kinyan. They didn't make a kinyan on that. So officially, if I come over to that trap and I take it out of the trap, since there's no toch, there's no inside to that particular kli or to those nets or the trap, whatever it is, so I'm really not stealing. It doesn't belong to the owner just because it's sitting in the trap. So nonetheless, that's considered gezel midarabon or gezel mibnei dakar shalom in order for the interest of peace so people don't fight about this. Rabbi Yossi Omer Gezel Gomer. Rabbi Yossi believes that this is considered the Chachamim considered taking these animals. This is going to be Gezel Deoraisa. Why? Because the Chachamim gave the status of these traps a din of kinyan, that you really acquire them legally. And if the Chachamim now say that you have acquired these items or these animals legally, then stealing would be de'oraisa. Mitzias cheirisho tefekata n'yeshem gezem t'nemedarka sholem. Another thing, well, you find is a mitzia that was found by a deaf mute, a shota, someone who's mentally deranged or a katan under bar mitzvah, so they don't have das, they're not really capable of making an acquisition, but even a katan is only capable of acquiring an item if an adult gives it to him, as das makne, to give it to him, but just himself from hefker, no. So v'chere shot v'kat picks up an item, so that doesn't belong to them, so I can grab it out of their hand. That's considered gezel, to keep the peace, so in order to avoid conflict. Rabbi Yossi Omer Gezel Gomer, he also disagrees. He says the Chachamim gave a legal right to these Cheshav Tekata, and that if they have Pickup and Metzia, they become the legal owners. Therefore, stealing from them would be the Oraisa, not just Mnei Dakeshom. Ani Hamanakif Barashas Eis, have a poor person cutting at the top of an olive tree, which is able to take. The owner didn't pick them, so he has the right to designated for the poor people. Masha Tachtov Gazel, what's for has fallen below, the fruits that are on the bottom of the tree are also as Mnei Dakeshom. The Chachamim said, someone else is not allowed to take the fruits which were cut off and fell to the ground. This avoids problems. If the poor person, he's old Darkei Shalom because they fell. He was just banging the top of the olive tree and they fell down. Darkei Shalom, don't take the olives that fell to the ground. If the Ani actually held on to the olive and now it fell down, then he already made a kinyan on it, then that would be considered Gezel de Oraisa. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gezel Gamra, Rabbi Yossi believes that the Ani just hitting the top of the olive tree and the olives falling down, the Chachamim gave him legal rights of ownership of those olives, and therefore stealing from them would be d'oraisa. Ein memachin biyadani goyim baleket uvashech uvapeya menei dakei shalom. In order to keep the peace, non-Jews, we don't prevent them from collecting leket, where someone drops the one or two stalks shicha, where you leave a whole omer of wheat, and peah, which is the edge of the field, which are normally collected by the Jews. If non-Jews collect them for the sake of the peace, we allow them to collect. In fact, the Gemara brings a brisa, mefarnesim aniyei goyim aniyei Yisrael. We give sustenance, we try to sustain the non-Jewish poor, as we do with the Jewish poor. Umevakrim cholei goyim im gochalei Yisrael. Same thing with Bikur Cholim. We do Bikur Cholim for non-Jews. V'kovrim may say goyim and may say Yisrael as well. We try to help bury them as well, just like we bury Kfar Yisrael all mipnei darkei shalom.